This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What's your favorite vegetable? Yeah, the question. 651-641-1071. What is your favorite vegetable? This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Why are we asking people about their favorite vegetables?
Research says, you guys, that vegetables are really so hot right now. It's true. And in fact, they ranked sexy vegetables. Okay, so what? I was like, well, here's what I want to do. I want to figure out what people think is their sexiest vegetable. So if you had to pick your sexiest vegetable, I would imagine that would be like a vegetable that you find sexy in a, like, I want to put it in my mouth kind of way.
Oh, kind of like Armie Hammer. Sorry.
What?
You know, like how Armie Hammer likes to put sexy things in.
You're not going to eat people.
Okay.
You're going to eat vegetables. So which vegetable would you want to get all up in your mouth?
In your mouth.
Yeah.
651-641-1071. What is your favorite vegetable?
Jack is on the phone.
Ooh, oh, Jack. All right.
Hi, Jack.
Let's get right to it.
Jack, what is your favorite veggie?
There's one vegetable I eat every day. I'm in love with it. It's beets. You can boil the greens, or you can, I like pickled beets. I drink beet juice. It's very good for me, and I love it.
I like beets. I'm with
Captain
you.
Captain Beet.
I like beets, too. Thanks, Jack, for your call.
Beets are, you know, I've grown, beets have grown on me.
Because some, did you, I feel like you used to think beets tasted like dirt.
Yes, they do have a dirt quality sometimes if they're not prepared well.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people are just hypersensitive to that earthy
mm-hmm.
quality.
But a good beet.
But I love boiled beets. Like he said, beet greens are really mm-hmm. good.
You got to be real careful, though. You don't want to overdo the beets.
No, because then you'll end up like my grandma calling 911.
Exactly.
Well, she thought she had a bleeding experience.
I'm sure.
And my aunt was like, didn't you just eat a whole thing of beets?
Yeah.
She was like, oh. Right? Yeah, so you got to be careful. You're right. Okay, so beets. Beets.
651.
Beets by Jack.
651-641-1071. What's your favorite vegetable?
Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm giggling because my daughter had the same issue with the fire hot Cheetos.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You got to be careful when you put something red in because something red might come out. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So here you go. Zucchini.
Ooh, zucchini, so you love zucchini. What's your favorite way to eat it?
Well, I love it in my spaghetti sauce, but also zucchini fries with some Parmesan.
Ooh, that sounds yummy.
And you grill it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And you can, you know, eat it raw and veggie dip. It's great.
All right.
Raw zucchini. That's one I haven't tried. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye. My only concern with zucchini, or as I like to call it in our house, zucchini, is that occasionally it gets moist.
Well, it can have a wet problem.
Grilled would be a good idea, but like boiledy or sauteed, it can kind of get moist.
Even when you even if you under roast it, it can be kind of wet.
Mm.
651-641-1071. What is your favorite vegetable? Bradley, what is your favorite vegetable?
I think cauliflower, it's safe to say.
That's very now. Like, cauliflower is having its moment.
Yeah. Well, I actually feel like cauliflower maybe was like 5 years ago when Oprah was, remember when she was like high on the cauliflower?
Yeah.
But I've stuck around. I really do continue to enjoy cauliflower on a regular basis.
How do you
like
to prepare it?
Well, my favorite, thanks for asking, is really just a very simple preparation of oven roasting. And you just toss that in some olive oil, salt, and pepper. Let that get nice and crispy.
You know what I like to do?
What do you like to do?
pretty much the same, but this all has to do with how I cut it. Mm. I like to cut it like steaks. So it's like a big, you know what I mean? Like a cross section of it and make like a big chunk.
Yeah.
And then do the olive oil, salt and pepper, and then roast that sucker. And you feel like you're having a substantial thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of good.
What's your favorite vegetable?
I'm a little Popeye in this experience.
Spinach?
I love spinach. I feel like it's very versatile.
I do enjoy spinach. I would say it's a close second. It's in the first five.
Yeah.
Top five. For
okay,
sure.
What else is in your top five? I like broccoli. I like to roast the broccoli.
I do like roasted broccoli, but I kind of just am. I've eaten a lot of broccoli in my life. So I would probably throw onions in there because I will tell you, I eat an onion a day probably.
I live for onions.
Like onions. You know what else I love?
What?
And tell me you don't agree.
What?
Cabbage.
Oh, I do love cabbage.
And you know, when you talk about slicing it like a steak?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do that with a cabbage.
Yes.
Put some sea salt, some oil.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I know, you're so excited about that cabbage.
And then it roasts, but then on the inside, it's like kind of like moist and like tender.
It's so good.
But then the outside is crisp.
You want it to be really crispy. It's so good. Can I tell you what some trash veggies are?
Oh yeah, tell me what your favorite trash or your least favorite vegetable is.
Corn. Corn is pointless.
You are stoned. Mm-hmm. No. You have not had real corn.
Yes, I have. No. I just don't like it. It's trash. No. Why do I want to eat comes out of me the same way it went in? Okay, suspicious.
That's cheap. Suspicious. Have you ever eaten a mushroom?
I love mushrooms.
Yeah, they come out of you too. I'm going to make you my famous. By famous, I mean
everybody knows about it.
We eat it at my house. fried corn.
I mean, I like the first word.
Yeah, bacon, onions, garlic, corn.
Okay, so I'm going to say something, and you're not going to like it.
I don't care.
I like bacon. I'm not saying I don't like bacon, yeah. But if you got to dress up your veggies with bacon, then the veggie's a problem.
Oh, you're stoned. You're drunk. Who else we got on the phone, Rob?
We got Jill.
Hi, Jill. Jill, what are your feelings about corn? Just kidding. No, tell us what your favorite veggie is.
Well, I love zucchini, and I have a tip for how to keep it from getting mushy.
Okay.
My Italian grandmother taught me that you slice it and you leave it out like on the counter. I put it on paper towel.
Oh, sure.
And let it dry before you start cooking it.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this.
Yeah, and that's amazing how wet the paper towel will get.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes.
That's a great idea. Jill. Thank you so much, Joe.
That is super helpful.
You know, that works. I do that occasionally with potatoes. You'll put a little salt on them, put them in a colander.
Mm. Let them just dry out a little bit.
Cucumbers, too. Yeah. If you want to put them in a salad and you don't want all that juice.
I love cucumbers.
Yeah, I do like cucumbers.
I love cucumbers.
Like pickles.
Yes.
We make quick pickles. Mm. I cannot wait for summertime because I eat so many vegetables and my partner pretty much doesn't care for vegetables at all. So,
well, more for you.
Yeah. Emma's on the phone.
Hello, Emma. Emma, what is your favorite vegetable?
Hi. I love broccoli. Put that on the menu. Broccoli and carrots. Delicious.
I'm
all right.
You.
Broccoli and carrots on the menu.
Thank you for your call, Emma. Is now an awkward time for me to say I don't like carrots either.
I will say carrots are underappreciated. Have you ever just roasted carrots?
I do. You know what? Listen, I do. I like a roasted carrot from time to time.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
My family is not excited about that, which is rude.
What I will say is here's something I despise.
Hmm.
And I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this. I'm going to get a lot of emails.
Hmm.
Baby carrots.
Oh, they're dumb.
A bag of slimy baby carrots, throw that in the trash.
Honey. Yeah, that's
get me
dumb.
Some real carrots.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got to spend 2 days. I don't peel carrots. Mm-mm. I wash them out under the faucet, and then I cut them up.
Mm-hmm.
You get all that fiber,
all
the vitamins.
By the way, you are listening to a man who eats the entire peanut shell
It's true.
When we return on the Colleen and Bradley show, we have to do another episode of Gooper Scoopers because Gwyneth is still a thing. We'll get the Gooper Scoopers together after this to scoop some goop on My Talk 107.1. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hello.
We call ourselves the Gooper Scoopers.
Here come the Gooper Scoopers. They are gonna find you stuff that's dumb on
Goopa, 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 Scoopa.
That's just what they do.
Goopa, scoopa, goopa, scoopa.
There's always stupid stuff on Goop.
Hi.
Hey.
Gwyneth is doing stuff again, and we need to talk about it.
Okay.
So, I saw this headline, and whenever I see, like, Gwyneth in a headline over at the Daily Mail, I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good.
No, nothing good is going to come from this.
Now Gwyneth Paltrow consciously uncouples from the English language. Paltrow sells intuitive fasting book on Goop website that urges people to eat what feels right.
Hmm? What?
So I was like, what is this all about? Well, guess who wrote a new book? Dr. Will Cole. Does that name sound familiar?
It certainly does. He was the co-host of the Goop for Men podcast that we talked about at one point on the Colleen and Bradley show. I just want you to know Dr. Will Cole is also the kind of person who likes to set a Google alert on his name, because when we talked about it, he got wind of it, and then he went on over to the Instagram and started talking to us and following us and whatnot.
Yeah. So he wrote a new book, and, you know, I'll let you do the research, but this book is called Intuitive Fasting. Now, fasting generally means, like,
not eating.
Not eating, right? And intuitive means, like, maybe your body's just gonna know. And so this is his first book to be published by the Goop Press as part of Goop's publishing partnership with a division of Penguin Random House. Quote, and this is Gwyneth, "Of all the different ways of eating I've tried over the years, from macrobiotic to vegan to, I'll spare you the details, cleanses, here is what worked for me. Eating intuitively. When I eat what feels right to me, I feel my best."
Isn't that just called eating?
Yeah. Also, I mean, isn't that just called, like, living?
Yeah, like, just...
like, when I just eating. Do something, I do it. What? Okay, so his book, actually, if you're trying to figure out, well, I don't understand what any of this means, it features a four-week flexible fasting plan that combines multiple...
Okay, I'm sorry. Nope, go on.
That combines multiple intermittent fasting protocols and a customized food plan to reduce inflammation and reset the body.
Do you want to do the math on this, or should I?
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of math to be done, but take a stab.
Okay, so intuitive fasting means, like, your intuition, right? So, like,
follow their simple plan.
For what you want. He's going to give you a plan to tell you
For example, they talk about the 16-8 method of intermittent fasting, which merely involves eating all of your calories in an 8-hour window. Look,
you can Google that, you guys.
I know. I don't care how you choose to eat. Whatever plan works best for you, however you've decided your food intake is best served, by all means. Mm-hmm. Because here's something I know based on science. Everybody's different. Mm. But when somebody tells you the secret is this...
that means their secret
is that. $29.95 for the privilege of learning the secret... it's probably crap.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, it's anecdotal and it's not going to work for everyone.
Here's my thing. It's a way. It's not necessarily the way. To your point, Bradley, everybody is different. But this one is the most in your face ridiculous, because the selling point of it is intuitive fasting.
If there's anything difficult in these pages, it is Will's request that you be willing to listen to yourself, to your own body, to your intuition. While this might seem simple, it is not easy, at least not at first.
But read this book, where he tells you how to eat.
Yeah.
And then,
but listen to yourself.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Listen to yourself, but don't listen to somebody else, but listen to you. But here's somebody else telling you what to listen to yourself.
Yeah. So again, it might be an interesting, and I always find things like this to be interesting, like, oh, what's the theory here, right? Like, tell me your theory. Mm-hmm. But what I realize is that when it comes to prescriptive eating, if that's even what you could call it, but just like giving people specific ways to eat their food, for every specific way you tell someone to eat, there is a different way based on a different person. Like, mm-hmm. We are all different combinations of genetics. Mm-hmm. There is no one way that's going to solve
all the. And if there was, we'd all be doing it.
And listening to yourself is not an actual scientific.
Well,
oh, hold on. I'm getting Alexis in my ears.
Oh, fun. Hi, Alexis.
Alexis, we can hear you.
We can hear you now. I did just want to say, can you hear me and Alexis at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I was going to say is that, now I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, forget it. It was genius, whatever it was.
Well, we were talking about intermittent fasting, and everybody is a different combination of genes, and what works for one person isn't necessarily going to work for the
other.
Oh, and the
idea of listening to yourself, you don't have to just, like, experimenting with listening to yourself and trusting yourself and your... you know, your personal, the way you respond to things, that's not necessarily an eating exercise. It can be, right? I'm not saying it's not, but what I'm saying is if the job or if the exercise is to start listening to yourself more, you don't need this book. There are thousands of other ways
also, that you I just can think that's,
tune into who you are and what you need.
That's also just fraught. Like, I don't... Like, I could tell myself all sorts of things.
Listen to me. There have been plenty of times in my life that I've been like, I really need a cheeseburger.
When people are like, listen to your intuition, there are times when my intuition was like, don't get on the airplane because you're all going to die in a fiery ball.
Right. There have also been times, if we're going to talk about food, that like my intuition has been like, eat a large cheeseburger every bite. And
yeah,
I don't think that's what we're talking about.
So,
and I felt good afterwards.
Oh, of course. And you know what? You're fine as a result.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if Dr. Will would tell you that that's okay, but if that is okay, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to talk and
listen at the same time.
If that was okay, why do you need a book?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what we're already doing.
Exactly. In short, don't buy anything from Gwyneth Paltrow. Also, too,
or Goop Press.
Oh my gosh, let's just revel in that for one moment. We are going to get a whole host of goopy books coming.
Oh yeah,
at
us. For sure. And this is
we'll take down every last one of them. All right, when we come back from the inventor of face mask wearing, when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we've got dumb people doing dumb things, crazy, stupid idiots. After this, on My Talk 107.1. Oh, dumb people doing dumb things. We love to tell you about them on the Colleen and Bradley Show. My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hey.
And these are your crazy, stupid idiots.
Well, then, I guess one could say that's a crazy, stupid idiot.
Colleen and Bradley present CSI.
It stands for Crazy Stupid Idiots.
It sure does. Why? Well, because the world is full of crazy stupid idiots. Dumb people doing dumb things repeatedly. Over and over again, oftentimes in the state of
Florida.
Florida.
Florida. And sometimes other places.
Like where?
Edinburgh.
Scotland?
I believe so. Okay. This story is gross.
Oh, good.
Okay. Fun. So I'm just going to start with that. This is a gross story. And you are going to hope that something like this never happens to you. It'll also remind you a little bit of the real world London. Just trust me.
Okay.
So here's what happened. These two people are walking down the street, James McKenzie and Bethany Ryan. They apparently were strangers. They did not know each other. But during this walking, as they passed each other, they clashed. I think that means that they ran into each other.
Sure.
And because they ran into each other, they started to argue. And the woman became aggressive toward the man.
Okay.
And then the man approached the woman with, quote, a clenched fist.
Oh.
Now, here's where it gets weird.
Okay.
Miss Ryan responded to him coming at her with a clenched fist by doing something super bizarre that you are not imagining right now.
Okay.
She pushed him on the body and began kissing him.
Okay.
What? I know. Your face is how I feel as well. And in the kissing him, she bit through his
tongue,
causing it to become severed.
Oh, God, no!
I told you it was gross.
Why are you... What?
Okay, but then what happened next will change your life forever. He, not knowing what had happened, that piece of his body came then out of his mouth and a seagull took it away. It's a true story. So he could not have it replaced. And the two of them were seen in court as they shared this whole story. I don't know what's in the paper.
His tongue. She bit off his tongue. Mm-hmm. It fell out and a seagull ate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it says. Mr. McKenzie walked off and spat a part of his tongue out, at which point the piece of muscle was picked up by a large seagull that made off with the piece of tongue.
What the heck is this story?
I told you it was gross.
That is nasty.
I told you it was gross.
Is this real?
I mean...
Is this a real website you're on?
The Edinburgh Evening News? I believe it is.
We're just looking through the stories to make sure this is legit, because that just sounds too good to not be true.
I mean... Or too bad.
Well, that's what I mean. It sounds too fantastical.
Apparently, this is the report of the court proceedings.
Yeah.
Solicitor Neil Martin, defending, said the attack by his client was a very strange incident in the round. I love English in different languages.
I mean, it's just English and English, honey.
I know, but. Like, we don't say that. It's a very strange incident. Oh, well, that was also a British accent.
But they're Scottish.
Yeah. A very strange incident in the round. I don't know what that means.
I think the round is probably just the courtroom.
Okay. Anywho. Yeah. She pleaded guilty to assaulting him. Pushing him on the body, kissing him, and biting off part of his tongue.
Why would you randomly go up to someone and kiss them and then bite off their tongue?
Do you remember what I said about how this will remind you of the real world London?
There was something about, was there a
Neil.
Tongue biting?
So there's the guy, I think his name was Neil, and he was a rock.
Sounds vaguely familiar. I tuned
artist.
In and tuned out of that season.
Oh my gosh. He was singing on stage, and one of the fans like got really close to him, and he like leaned down. And then they started kissing, and that person bit off his tongue.
This is why you should not kiss strangers.
I mean, cautionary tale, yes. Don't kiss strangers.
They'll bite off your tongue. And they could bite off your tongue.
Yeah. Bad things will happen. Kids.
I'm not a fan of lips that I am not familiar with.
And teeth. biting your tongue off. Okay, next.
Or worse.
Ooh. We're not going to tell that story.
That's a story?
No, I'm just saying, like, we're not going to tell a story about
Got
that.
It. No, but I am going to tell you another morbid story. So I'm glad you ripped the Band-Aid off.
Greased the wheel.
Yeah, you greased the wheel of that grisly tale. Because I want to take you to Albany, New York. That's okay. Right here in the United States. And I want to tell you about a guy who's facing some charges. And he's a landlord. He is literally the worst landlord ever. Like, if you could think of, like, what's the, like, rudest, dumbest, meanest thing that a landlord could do to tenants he didn't like anymore, what would you imagine? Because it won't be this.
I mean, like, evict them.
Okay, are you, what?
I don't know.
Are you drunk?
The best thing he could do on short notice. Turn off their heat?
Yeah, I mean, that would be bad, right?
Right?
Turn
off their water?
Sean Douglas did not do that. 48-year-old Sean Douglas did not turn off the water, but he did not like these tenants. And he was really frustrated that they were his tenants.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know what he did?
He
did not bite off their tongues either.
He released a pack of wild monkeys in their apartment.
That would be kind of awesome.
I tried.
And
thank
terrifying.
You.
Instead, he kidnapped them by tying them up in the middle of the night with zip ties and tape, placing pillowcases over their heads, driving them at gunpoint to a cemetery, and dumping them in the snow, leaving them for dead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was waiting for, like, you know, something kind of bad, but that's like he was trying to murder them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he wanted
he got murdery.
He got real murdery. Again, 48-year-old Shaw Douglas, armed with a firearm, zip-tied, duct-taped, with pillowcases over their head.
No, thank you.
Dumped them into the back of a pickup truck with accomplices, took them to a hotel, and then on to a cemetery in the snow, where he dumped them and left them for dead.
How did they get found?
I don't know.
How scary would that
be? But the good news is he didn't kill them, although when they asked why he did these things, it's because he wasn't able to evict the tenants because COVID-19 restrictions didn't allow him to evict his tenants. So he decided
to go ahead and try to kill them.
To kill them, but didn't kill them, thank God.
I hope he's locked up.
No, they set him free.
No
yes,
way.
He is in jail.
Ooh. Would you like a less gruesome story?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've done all the hits so far in the first two stories. What do you got for this one?
This one is just, this one is, we'll revisit this a kind of story we've heard before in Crazy Stupid Idiots. We're going to Florida. We're going to Collier County, Florida, where we're going to meet Lucretia Gentile and Vito Gentile. They are 71 and 76 years of age,
okay,
respectively. Okay. They are part-time Florida residents. They are from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
And they were arrested on Thursday.
Oh,
why?
No.
Here's what had happened. They were doing the shopping at the local Costco, and witnesses say that they saw Vito fold a halibut package in half and place it into Lucretia's purse.
He was stealing some halibut.
He also did similar to crab legs and clams. He put them in Lucretia's purse.
My God, so Lucretia had a big, fat, padded purse.
But it wasn't big enough to contain all of the things that they were trying to make off with.
Okay.
Because lastly, when he could not fit it in Lucretia's purse, Vito placed lamb down his pants.
Oh, a rack of lamb?
A rack of
in
lamb.
In his panties?
In his panties. And they walked through the Costco with frozen... I mean, can you imagine how uncomfortable that
so
is?
So I've seen the Costco rack of lamb, and I could see where you'd think that you could do that. My only problem is, because it's not huge, right? Like, a rack of lamb is kind of small, because it's a lamb.
Yep.
But who wants a cold rack of lamb in their crotch?
That's the thing.
And also, how did he not think people would see that?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, like, you don't... Here's the deal. When I'm shopping, I might not notice a lot of things, right? Like, if somebody's picking their nose, I probably don't notice.
Yeah. Although you'd probably notice now because of masks.
True, true. But if somebody's literally shoving frozen meat products in their
pants.
That's
like, oh, let me put this pork loin away without anyone seeing it.
I'm going to probably notice that. I might not have noticed the halibut, the clams, and the crabs in his wife's purse, but I would definitely notice somebody shoving a rack of lamb in their pants.
And I just think if you're looking around suspiciously for shoving something down your pants or in a purse, you are attracting attention to yourself.
Right. Also, I don't know that refrigerated or frozen or actually heated products are what you want to be putting close to your bits.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
I don't want to put anything cold in my crotch.
I feel like that's like a dry goods thing. Like you
do that. Only putting stolen dry goods in your pants?
I'm just saying, this is crazy, stupid, idiot advice.
I also just think like
more room temperature.
I don't know. Maybe it's their age and they just didn't assume. But I would assume that A, there are 50 cameras on me. B, there are secret shoppers. Mm-hmm. C, there's some kind of metal tag on this rack of lamb that's going to set off the beep, boop, bop, boop, beeper.
Yeah. And if it were COVID time, you'd have Gladys there trying to get you to sample some stuff.
Right.
She'd notice.
Thank God. That's
actually
one.
Probably not, because she's just reciting her thing.
What?
You know, I was saying like the sample person would notice, but then I realized no, because those sample people.
Oh no,
they're so good at their job.
There's a lady from the Costco who used to just be like, you know, pick up some dumb thing that they sell that they would sample,
like the brownie bites.
So it'd be like Bob Evans brownie bites are real good, rich and chewy, yum yum. Come get them. Bob Evans brownie bites are rich and chewy. Come like, get them, yum yum.
Literally, the whole
says
place
the
could
same
be
same thing.
The whole place could be on fire.
Yeah.
Around her, and she is nothing will deter her. She is like the USPS.
Bob, like there'll literally be no
rain,
one in the aisle.
Sleet, dark of
and
night.
And she's talking, and I'm like, but honey, nobody's in the aisle. You can take a breather.
No.
Just kick back. I would be the sample person that would just be like, you want four? Go for it.
Yeah,
I don't
whatever.
Care.
Are you here for dinner? Cool.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll just make one for you.
Yeah, just eat the whole thing. You want to watch the little toaster oven? I'm going to go have a smoke break.
The couple...
Don't smoke, kids.
Thank you. Continued to walk through the Costco, and then they paid for several items and left.
So they actually went through...
Yeah.
The checkout with a rack of lamb in his pants.
Yeah, but I'm guessing, you know, I'm guessing where they got caught was at that last checkpoint as you walk out of Costco where they pretend
to swipe your...
Yeah, which, can we talk about that real quick?
Oh, also...
How do they do that so quickly?
Do you know that that's... Did we talk about this?
No.
That's not for us. You know,
is
they don't
them?
Check the receipt for us. Like, meaning they don't think we're stealing things. They're checking to make sure, they're supposed to be checking to make sure that the person who rang us up didn't miss anything.
Oh.
Somebody explained that to me once. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I was told.
But it's still interesting because I don't know how they do it. So, because when I go to, I don't know about you, I think it would take like 25 minutes to.
I would not be a good person for that job because I would be like, I don't see the 6-pound bag of jerky.
Because we're the rule followers.
Yes.
Like, we'd be, like, thumbing through every single thing.
So, can you point out where the salami is? Because I'm not seeing that, and I can't let you go.
Actually, really, I think, honey, what you would say is, show me your salami.
Yeah. Hi. I'm going to need you to show me your meat products.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, you know what? I wanted to share a little good news with you today. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen with all of Alex Trebek's suits from Jeopardy. After this on the Colleen and Bradley show on MyTalk 107.1. I just thought we should end our hump day show with a little good news. You know, because sometimes we just get real negative about things.
Yeah, you hate George Clooney.
I mean,
and corn.
Okay, no, I don't hate George Clooney. You, sir, think that all TV game shows are rigged.
I just said it's possible.
No. Oh, okay. Wait. Now we're having revisionist history.
Oh well, physician, heal thyself.
Okay, fine. Listen, we're going the wrong direction.
I was
going
to say, aren't we supposed to be giving people some uplifting?
I wanted to go to
a
positive
place. Hey, Rob, you stay
place.
Quiet over there.
Okay, so here's the story. This is how it goes. It's real.
It's real.
It's real. So I actually hadn't wondered about this, but then when I found out about it, I thought, this is so wonderful. If you have, though, wondered what happened to all of Alex Trebek's suits from the set of Jeopardy, mm-hmm. and by the way, his suits from Jeopardy, I would like to hear your thoughts on this math. 14 suits, 58 dress shirts, and 300 neckties. Wow. Can you believe only 14 suits?
Well, you know, as I think about that, as I look at the numbers, it kind of makes sense in a way, because you can really use your suit as sort of the, you know, jumping off point, and mm-hmm. then you can mix and match the shirts and ties, right?
Right. So 14 suits, 58 dress shirts, 300 neckties, and also some other items of clothing that once belonged to Alex Trebek have been donated by the show Jeopardy and the Trebek family to an organization called the Doe Fund. And the Doe Fund is an organization that provides paid work, housing, vocational training, continuing education, and comprehensive social services to underserved Americans with histories of addiction, homelessness, and incarceration. And I absolutely love that they found something awesome to do and useful to do with his suits and his ties and his dress shirts and other accessories that they had on the set of Jeopardy. I just thought
that's pretty awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I also just think it's such a testament to who Alex Trebek was. He really did believe in doing good, doing the best you could to do good all the time. And
I don't think Jeopardy was fake.
Okay. Are you just saying that because we're in a happy place?
No, I mean, I don't have any reason to, like, you.
Jeopardy is premised. I don't know how you could
Jeopardy
fake
is not
Jeopardy.
Premised on chance, right?
No.
Like, the Wheel of Fortune is pure chance.
Yeah.
Which it's not really.
No. This, but, okay, stop it.
But Jeopardy is based on the mind. That's the beautiful thing about Jeopardy.
Right.
Is it, you know,
and you can't rig the mind.
No. Well, no, you can't.
You really
either
can't.
Have it or you don't.
It's true. Let me quickly give you the inventory of all the things that were donated. 58 dress shirts, 14 suits, 300 neckties, which I told you, 25 polo shirts, 14 sweaters, 9 sports coats, 9 pairs of dress shoes, 15 belts, 2 parkas, and 3 pairs of dress slacks. Isn't that, like, I just think that's so wonderful. That his
yeah,
memory will go on.
I mean, he could have made, like, his estate could have made a ton of money sort of auctioning off all that stuff, because no doubt there is a collection market for, you know, Alex Trebek's memorabilia.
Yeah.
So, you know, to provide it to people who can actually benefit from it versus just making money off it, it's pretty sweet.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, the latest Jeopardy news, by the way? This is, you know me, I love me some Jeopardy.
Yeah, I will admit I am not a current Jeopardy watcher. Oh. I've seen something about the people want some guy to replace him.
Okay, so that was the story I was going to bring up. So Ken Jennings, who was, like, the all-time winningest champion, was hosting for a time, and he did a great job. But he finished up his 6-week stint, and the executive producer, a guy by the name of Mike Richards, he stepped in on Monday, and there was a reason why. He said, I'm hosting today and for the next 2 weeks to keep the greatest quiz show in the world going. We have some amazing guest hosts coming that I can't wait for you to see. But with the COVID outbreak here in LA, folks were understandably a little reticent to shoot. So as the producer, my job is to quite literally live the mantra, the show must go on. So let's do what Alex did 8,244 times. Let's play Jeopardy and prove that nothing can stop this show. And apparently he did such a good job, and I am, like, kicking myself because I didn't watch. I haven't watched this week.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it. My DVR has caught it.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure your DVR will have it.
And I'm going to go back and watch it because this guy, apparently people were like, all right, stop the search. He crushed it.
That's awesome.
And you got to think, for somebody who watched Alex Trebek do it so closely for so long.
Well, and he would know the job.
Right. Like, that's why I think Ken Jennings did such a wonderful job at it, is because he sat front and center and was at the foot of the master for a period of time while he was on the show. So he kind of knew what Alex Trebek did to me. It's hard because the game show is such a great game show.
Yeah, but I'm sure Alex Trebek would agree with this. The game show is the game.
Right.
And, you know, he was always a very humble person. And, of course, he will be terribly missed. And he was a fixture in the, you know, pop culture landscape of our you know, age, mm-hmm. to be sure. So mm-hmm. I'm not underselling the importance of Alex Trebek. But at the end of the day, you need somebody who understands the game. And if they do, ultimately, the game is what people are going to continue to show up for.
Right.
Right.
Right. And I will show up for this game. But I am curious. I will go back and watch this week's to see how this guy did, because everybody's loving him. Yeah. So there you go. What's your favorite game show, Bradley?
Oh, my favorite game show?
What's your favorite rigged one?
I don't think they're all rigged. I told you. I would have to say Jeopardy, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just is a good darn game.
It's
just a good show.
It's the only game that I feel like I can play and have any sort of success at. Because again, like Wheel of Fortune, like, I mean, you can guess the puzzles, but yeah. I always feel like some of those puzzles now are so arbitrary.
Oh, they're very bizarre.
You know, like the weird combos of things. And yeah, that's, like again, the, yeah. just more like, what's the chance your brain can connect those dots quickly?
And for me, it's zero.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you're going to play the home game of Jeopardy with me, you better answer in the form of a question. Like,
you get like angry at people.
Who are Lori and Julia?
Up next.
Exactly.
What is up next, Alex?
Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow.
Who is up next?
Whatever. You know what, on the Colleen and Bradley Show. Thanks for hanging with us today. Stay safe out there, everybody. Bye.
Have you been waiting for just the right job? Then welcome to the end of your search. Amazon has seasonal warehouse jobs in your area, and now is a great time to apply. You can start getting paid right away and work close to home. Applying is easy. You don't even need an interview. So what are you waiting for? Come join the team and get a great seasonal job offer today. Visit Amazon.com/hiring. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
Whether it's Baker's Simple Truth Turkey or mac and cheese with Murray's English Cheddar or pie made with fresh Cosmic Crisp apples, there are many dishes we look forward to sharing during the holidays. And Baker's has all the fresh ingredients you need to turn today's holidays into tomorrow's memories. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Choose from a great selection of digital coupons and use them up to 5 times in one transaction. Check our app for details. Baker's, fresh for everyone.